How many of us got up this morning and thought, "Woo, it's cool. This feels great outside." Yeah, a lot of us, yeah. Now, how many of us said, "Give me another blanket"? It's that time of the year. It is autumn. It's the season of harvest. And many of you are harvesting your fruits and vegetables. Things are ripe. They're ready to gather. And we're celebrating this time of year as the cool weather comes in with pumpkin patches and potlucks and Thanksgiving meals. But, you know, we're not the only ones that celebrate. God celebrates a harvest as well. In fact, God has planted things in our life and in our heart. Things that can change us. That in due season, they are ready. They become ripe and ready for the harvest. And this morning, we're going to explore a little bit about that and how God expects fruit from God's labor in our life. Take out your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. We're going to read verses 4 through 15. And I invite you to follow along as we hear the good news. Luke, chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. When a great crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from one city after another, he spoke to them in a parable. A farmer went out to scatter his seed, and as he was scattering it, some fell on the path where it was crushed, and the birds in the sky came and ate it. Other seed fell on the rock, and as it grew, it dried up because it had no moisture. Another seed fell among the thorny plants. The thorns grew with the plants and choked them. But still other seed landed on good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100 times more grain than was scattered. And he said this, he called out, "Everyone who has ears should pay attention." And his disciples asked him what this parable meant, and he said, "You have been given the mysteries of God's kingdom, but these mysteries come to everyone else in parables, so that when they see, they can't see, and when they hear, they can't understand." And the parable means this. The seed is God's word. And the seed on the path are those who hear, but the devil comes and steals the word from their heart so that they won't believe and be saved. The seed on the rock are those who receive the word joyfully when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but fall away when they are tempted. And as for the seed that fell on the thorny plants, these are the ones who, as they go about their lives, are choked by the concerns, riches, and pleasures of this life, and their fruit never matures. And the seed that fell on good soil are those who hear the word and commit themselves to it with a good and upright heart. And through their resolve, they bear fruit. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we worship you this morning and meditate on these passages, give us ears to hear, a heart of good, and may we resolve to bear fruit that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen. So back in the 1880s, my great-great-grandparents on my mother's side immigrated here from Ireland, Scotland, and England, and somewhere along the way, they ended up participating in the 1880s and 90s Oklahoma land run. When I was a child, my grandfather still had 5 acres of that land. And growing up, I spent a lot of time with my grandma and grandpa. And my grandpa was one of those old-timey cowboy guys. You know, he grew up breaking horses. And he may not have been big or tall, but he sure was tough, and I was his little cowboy. And he taught me important things in life, like how to box, and how to stand up for myself, and how the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And I remember spending a lot of time with them, and on occasions in the summertime, we would pack all of our stuff into their old Dodge Dart, and we would drive out of Tulsa into the far-off land out by the lake. We'd pull into that long gravel driveway with pine trees casting shade on both sides. And I just loved it out there. It was so completely different from the city. It was so spread out, you could barely see the neighbor's house. And to me, it was a vast wilderness. And they'd only had about 5 acres, but to me it was the whole world. We'd spend our days out there fishing and farming, but usually before I got to go do the fishing I loved, we had to do a little bit of farming. Now in that 5 acres, my grandpa, he had about a couple acres set aside that I think he was growing hay for the neighbor. And then he had another acre that was kind of an orchard. He had peaches and pears and oranges and apple trees. And then he had another couple acres that he called the garden. And then around their silver oblong trailer that sat in the middle of the property, he had lattice with vines of muscadine and grapes growing on them. And I usually tried to help out with the chores around the place. My grandpa tried to make it fun. He'd let me sit on his lap while he rode his big red tractor and tilled the land. And then we'd drag my little radio flyer red wagon behind us as we picked up rocks out of the dirt and then put them in a pile. And then we tackled the tedious task of planting seeds. And he'd give me a row and he says, "Daniel, just follow this row straight down it." And sometimes, you know, the bag of seeds I'd have, he'd just have me spread them out on top of the soil. And some of them he'd have me just push down just the tip of my finger depth. And then some of them I'd just kind of lay on the soil and then just kind of put a little dirt over them. And then when we got done with the time of planting, then it was the time of waiting. And depending on the season, we may have been waiting for melons or beets or pumpkins or potatoes or peas or squash or corn or cucumbers or carrots, strawberries or spinach or lettuce or tomatoes or even turnips. And I got to admit, today I still don't care for turnips. But once they started to grow, our work wasn't done because we had to tend to them. We had to constantly check them and make sure that they were growing healthy, that they had enough moisture in the ground, and that when we were sure that something wasn't a plant, that it was a weed, we'd pull that one out. And then we would look for pests, especially worms, and get rid of them. And then what seemed like ages, after ages, they finally ripened. And we would get excited for the harvest because I got to go pick the ripe ones. You know, for a boy between the ages of 5 and 10, it was really exciting times. But I know many of you relate even still today, because many of you still have gardens, and I've heard your joys and your laments about how you struggled this year with tomato plants. But you've had such a harvest of cucumbers and peppers. I remember one day we were out there working, and as little boys are prone to do, I got a little bored. So I walked, and there was a barbed wire fence at the back of the property. On the side, there were cattle grazing, and I'd like to watch the cattle, and I climbed up over that barbed wire fence, and I'd get about as close as I was comfortable. I'd check them out, watching them, sometimes calling, mooing at them. But this particular day, they were curious about me, too. And they decided to get a little closer, and it wasn't just one or two. It was like a whole herd. And they just got a little closer, and I back up a little farther. They got a little closer, and I back up a little farther, and finally I decided that was close enough. I'm going back over the fence. So I climbed up over that barbed wire fence and threw my leg over and went to throw my other leg over, and that's when it happened. My pants caught a barb, and I couldn't get down. And I started screaming, "Papa! Help me, Papa!" And he come running over to me, and he just picked me up off the fence and set me down. And then I remember him telling my mom about it, and them both laughing at me. They knew I wasn't in any danger. The explanation for them to get me off that fence was really quite simple. And I wonder if when the disciples heard Jesus tell this parable about the sower and the soils and the seeds, I wonder if they thought, "Well, duh, Jesus. Everybody knows how seeds and planting works." But then Jesus begins to explain. As they're wondering, what does this have to do with us and what does this have to do with God? Jesus begins to explain that the seed is God's word. It's an expression of God. Yet some people don't want to hear it. Because their heart is hardened and calloused, and they'll never receive it until they break. And some people hear it and they immediately begin to germinate, but they don't really take it to heart because they become dehydrated and they refuse to drink in the water of life. Their experience is a flash in the pan of God's grace, and they lose it. They lose sight of it before it can really have any effect on them in their life. Some take it to heart. And they get so busy, though, doing other things that nothing really ever happens with it. I mean, it's important to them, but it's not important enough to become a priority to make a real difference in their life. That they're more concerned about their work or their profession or their success or getting that next promotion or building up that bank account, you know, or doing what feels good in the moment. You know, a lot of things seem good, especially in the moment, but so many of them keep us from God's greater good. Yet some people receive the word and they take it with care. They plant it in their heart and they know, they realize that there will be times that are good and times that are tough and hard, yet they stay rooted in the community of faith. They drink in the water of life and the words of Christ germinate within them, maturing within them, and they grow and become stronger, and then naturally, they partner and pollinate with others in the community, bearing fruit and propagating new seeds and plants. In other words, the fruitful allow God's grace to grow in them, and the result is both life-changing and world-changing. And Jesus explains that we are the soil. And when he explains that, it's like he's asking us, what kind of soil do you want to be? He gives us a choice. Do you want to be the soil that ignores God's grace? Do you want to be the soil that doesn't take it that seriously? Or do you want to be the soil that has too much going on that nothing else gets done? Or do you want to be the soil that produces fruit? I know for me, I want to be that soil that produces fruit. But what about you? What soil do you want to be? You know, God expects us to be fruitful. We read in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, that when God blessed Adam and Eve, he said to them, "Be fertile and multiply, fill the earth and master it." And we can read this today as prioritizing God in our life to be fertile soil so that we can be fruitful and grow, producing more seeds that share the grace of God's kingdom. And it won't always be easy. There will be times when it seems like water is scarce, or like the heat is too hot, or the wind is too cold. Yet Jesus says when we are committed, if we keep it in our hearts, that we will endure, and that through our resolve, we will bear fruit. Hebrews 12:11 says it like this. He says, "No discipline or training is fun while it lasts, but it seems difficult or painful at the time. However, it yields the fruit of peacefulness, of righteousness for those who have been trained by it." Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes the enemy wants to stomp on us and steal our seed before we can do anything with it. Sometimes the enemy wants to steal our joy right when we think we've found it. Sometimes the enemy wants to tempt us away from doing what's right, from loving God and loving our neighbor. And sometimes we work so hard and wait so long, it feels like we're never going to get there.
Yet Jesus says, commit yourself. Keep a good heart, and your resolve will pay off. You will be fruitful. And right here in the midst of this parable, we see a beautiful example of God's sanctifying grace. That Jesus is giving us an opportunity to accept the empowerment of God's grace in our life. That we as human beings accept the power that God gives us to partner with the work of the Holy Spirit, to be the church, and to actually bear fruit. Now be ready, because bearing fruit doesn't mean doing more. For most of us, our plate is full enough, amen? Oh yeah, we got more than enough to do. Instead, it means examining ourselves and asking, am I accomplishing what I've set out to do? Am I doing with what I've been tasked to do? Well, what has God tasked you with? It's probably not everything on your to-do list. I get it. I struggle with a mile-long to-do list. There's always more to be done. A long time ago, I relinquished the privilege of tending to a garden when I left home. I discovered that it was not in my wheelhouse. It was not necessarily my gift. And so I would rather not invest my time in the arduous task of picking weeds and watering beds and pruning stems and disposing of pests. And I've traded that in for sowing for souls, for sowing for people, to help in equipping disciples to make disciples, to loving as I've been loved, to help preach and teach and edify the body of Christ so that it can live into being the body of Christ. I've learned that my gift is to help you produce fruit. And I believe that you want to produce fruit. And so how has God gifted you? Are you using your gifts? Or are you wasting them by doing something else? Are you neglecting them by doing nothing at all and letting them dry out? Or are you nurturing them? Are you helping someone else nurture theirs? Are you, as we say, making life better and others better at life through Jesus Christ? Do you need some help? If so, let us know. If you're not sure where to start, then I invite you, be here next week at 10 o'clock for the Mission and Ministry Fair. Stick around for afterwards to see what else you can do, because I guarantee you, with over 20 tables out here, with all the things that we're doing, you will find something that will speak to your heart, and you'll find a way to serve God either within or outside in the community. But I'm challenging us. I'm challenging you. Do we produce fruit? Let's do ministry with real results. And as we partner with the Holy Spirit to produce fruit, it becomes our role to scatter the seeds of the gospel. We get to tend the garden of humanity as God's, as the hands and feet of Christ. That didn't come out quite right. We get to tend God's garden of humanity as the hands and feet of Christ. We are empowered to grow and to spread the presence of God's grace everywhere. Even if we think they won't hear it, even if we think they won't listen to it, even if we think they won't take it seriously, even if we think they're too busy, we can still share the gospel of God's presence and grace and love with our words and actions. And wherever it begins to grow, we will nurture it. God has planted this seed in you. And so may we have ears to hear. May we be soil good for planting. May we resolve to be fruitful in such a way that we scatter the seeds of the gospel, producing fruit wherever we go. You produce fruit wherever you go. Amen.